With an Ohio Bias presents NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley. Huge win by Kyle Busch in New Hampshire. Justin, what did we learn from that? And Martin Truex Jr., man, probably would have won that race if he wasn't picking up the pieces of his car off the track. Welcome in.
Yeah, but Kyle Busch was awfully strong, and he's always strong at Loudon. And that's just what you pretty much can expect. Kyle Busch up front, Martin Truex up front, Kyle Larson. And it's basically how I've figured this whole playoff would go. Those guys in contention, and still that fourth person. We have yet to really get a clear definition of who the final four will be, other than, well, I would say this, the fourth spot. That's still to be determined. I still think it's Keselowski, but like you said, huge win for Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex probably maybe could have won the race if not for some trouble, but a lot of guys in trouble after that wreck too, so interesting developments at Loudon.
Yeah, definitely. In this podcast, we're going to take a closer look at that race. Of course, you know, get Justin's predictions for the Monster Mile in Dover and some memorable moments. But we're also going to examine Brad Keselowski, who Justin has been saying is due, and Team Penske. Let's talk about a couple of the guys that did help themselves, or at least have been helping themselves, especially Matt Kenseth. A couple top 10 finishes here as the playoffs start. Do you expect him to possibly take that fourth spot?
Honestly, I think the thing that Kenseth needs to do is just win. And he's been on the verge of winning all year. He just needs to really win a couple of races, and he'll be fine. But he's consistently putting together a great season. Kind of reminds me of the way that Ryan Newman ran in the very first Chase playoffs with Kevin Harvick being the champion that year. He never won a race, but he was consistent enough to move along, and there he was in the final four. And on the final lap at Homestead, had a chance to win the title. So Kenseth kind of putting together that kind of season. But again, you know, he needs to win a race. And I really expect him to show up and win one of these next three races. He's got some really strong tracks coming up. And, of course, Martinsville, where he's never won, but he's had opportunities. It'll be interesting for sure to see what he can do.
I mean, we think about that Martin Truex Jr. crash. We think about Denny Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson. I mean, the who's who in there mixing it up. But Truex comes out the worst for it. Do you think he'll be harboring some bad thoughts? And how much does that slow down his momentum?
It doesn't affect him at all. He pretty much is playing with house money right now. He won the first race, so he's in good shape. Plus all those stage wins, he should be set for the final four regardless. I think he has enough points to skate by. The crash, not really a big deal for him. Surprising, again, Jimmy Johnson not running well. Denny Hamlin didn't run well either. Those guys were battling for 13th and 14th. And when I think of Jimmy Johnson and Denny Hamlin, I don't think of those guys as 13th and 14th place drivers. But that's the way Jimmy's been running pretty much the last 12 to 15 races. He just has not been there since he won at Dover. Not really sure what's going on with the 48. I expected them to be a lot faster. I did not expect them to be in the final four. But at this rate, I'd say he does move on to the next round. I don't think he will make the final four unless he wins at Martinsville.
Casey Kane got some wins, looked to have been going the right way, and then now looks to fall off as we get into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's pretty much just Casey Kane. I mean, that's what he's been for the last few years. He's either hot or cold, and mostly cold, and that's a shame for a guy like Casey Kane. I really feel like his tenure at Hendrick started well, but these last three or four years have just been ridiculously bad for Kane. And he's a great guy. He's really popular with a lot of the fans. So he really, you know, I expected him to do about what he's done, but maybe a little bit better. I did not expect him to advance out of this first round. Doesn't look like he's going to. But again, you never count anybody out, because anybody can win any given week if they strike gold, you know. So Kane, though, really just bringing up the rear for Hendrick right now in the chase, and that's not a good thing for him or his fans or his confidence at all.
All right, let's talk about Team Penske. No wins since back in the springtime. We've been talking about Brad Keselowski every week. You picked that race, actually, when we let off this podcast for him to win, that nobody got to hear. But he ran well in Brooklyn and Michigan, of course, in Bristol. But Brad Keselowski hasn't been able to deliver. And then now, what's the outlook for Kevin Harvick, a guy also who needed to deliver?
Kevin Harvick and Kurt Busch both are in trouble. That crash did them no favors. And it also kind of reignites that rivalry with Austin Dillon that Kevin Harvick had last year. Remember that Austin Dillon said he would pay Kevin Harvick back for what he did at Texas last year in the fall. I wonder if maybe that was the time he chose to do it. Again, didn't really get too much out of Harvick on that subject, but Harvick and Busch are in trouble. Surprising for me is Harvick. You know, he's been a contender these last 3 or 4 years. And when you think of Kevin Harvick with Rodney Childers as his crew chief, they've been fast. And it seems like that switch to Ford, I go back to that, it's just not been a quick learning curve for Stuart Haas. I think that they maybe didn't make a mistake in the long run. In the short run, they did, because it may cost two of their drivers a chance at a championship.
Justin, let's get to it. Dover this week, the Monster Mile. Give us some of the highlights that you think of when you think about this race, and then kind of give us a preview of what we can expect.
Well, Kyle Larson's due for a win here. He blew it in the springtime to Jimmy Johnson. Of course, then again, they had the restart rule where the line was over on the backstretch, and now it's going to be at the start-finish line. And when you think of the Monster Mile, obviously Jimmy Johnson's the king of the Monster Mile. He has the most wins there. It's his best track statistically. So if this is a chance for Car 48 to lock himself into the next round, I would expect him to be up front. If, however, Jimmy runs 8th to 14th again this week, that will definitely tell me he's not going to the Final Four this year, because I usually look at a driver's strongest tracks and determine if they're going to proceed in the playoffs, if they run well there. I expect Jimmy Johnson to run well. I expect him to win. However, if he doesn't do well, then I don't think that he's even going to make it past the round after this one. So Kyle Larson is my pick to win at Dover. If not, it's going to be Matt Kenseth and also Jimmy Johnson. I have those guys as also contenders to win that race. But I think Kyle Larson breaks through and he puts himself again on the map as my champion this year.
All right. Well, that is going to be definitely exciting to see how that plays out. If it definitely comes the way you say there, Justin, it's definitely going to set up a huge, huge, huge spot to be taken there. We've got to get to the real thing, too, Justin, that happened over the weekend. The president has weighed in with his position on how national sports organizations should respect and show their affirmation for the country and handle the national anthem. We've seen the protests. We know what that's meant. You know, from Colin Kaepernick starting it all the way to MLB players to now NBA players coming out and speaking out, even Ohio's own LeBron James. NASCAR, Richard Petty had some very poignant comments, and everybody in NASCAR believes that you should stand for the national anthem. Justin, how did you feel that NASCAR handled this one?
Now, that's not a surprise to me, and I figured that they would. NASCAR is traditionally Southern, traditionally conservative, and even though they've branched out, you know, into other parts of the country, I still kind of expected that, because you have a lot of old school owners like Richard Petty and Richard Childress. And again, that's their right to say whether their employees can or can't. Now, the First Amendment does protect us from the government making policy that prohibits our free speech. But ultimately, if you are employed by someone, you have to play by their rules. So, I mean, there's really no right or wrong answer on this. I think that there are more disrespectful things you can do during the anthem than take a knee. I think I tweeted this out before. I think, you know, texting, talking, singing it poorly are some of the things that I find are way more disrespectful than someone showing their or displaying their right to protest. And as long as it's peaceful and, you know, folks aren't doing anything illegal, I'm all for whatever makes everybody happy. So that's my take on it. Personally, I would stand for the pledge. Again, though, if other people feel that they don't want to for any given reason, you know, that's their right. As long as they're doing it respectfully and peacefully, I have no problem with that. And I think that I have no problem with the way that NASCAR handled it. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. even tweeted about that as well. He kind of summed up my thoughts on it. I probably should have retweeted it, but I kind of lost track of it.
Ohio Bias did retweet it, though, there, Justin. So don't you worry there. He shared a quote from the late, great John F. Kennedy, our great president, the late, great president John F. Kennedy. All Americans are granted rights to peaceful protest. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that's a quote from John F. Kennedy. Justin, my personal opinion, I agree with you. I stand for the protests. I was recently at Indians games, Browns games, you know, actually with, you know, a former Marine. Shout out to Cleveland Mike. But, you know, it comes to this, honestly, if you're so outraged about somebody taking a knee during a protest, I just hope you're living your life to the point that outrage is funneled into something positive of actually supporting troops when they need it, when they return home, our veterans, what have you may be, because there's still a lot of conditions and things that need to be done for our veterans. And that's the real support that you can show for the troops. That's the real respect that you can show. That's how we really show our patriotism, is taking care of our own. And I just caution everybody, too, about their outrage and their persecution of anybody that they don't agree with, because that's kind of how this country was founded, as, you know, our forefathers left from England and other places because of the religious persecution to start the United States of America. So that's my piece on that, Justin.
Right, and I absolutely agree with you, and I think NASCAR has done a lot of wonderful things for the troops over the years. You will find very few troop-friendly sports more than NASCAR. And it also goes back to, you know, the way Ohio State has shown respect to the troops in the past. They took the field together with Navy in 2009. You know, they did a lot of good things there when the Army came to play a couple of weeks ago. So it's like you said, anytime you can help out the troops, show the troops and the veterans respect, I think it's always a great thing. And, you know, NASCAR does it well. WWE does it well. So a lot of folks still really do support our troops, and I think that's the message too, is, you know, don't forget what's really important, even though somebody may have said something that upset you a little bit. But, you know, again, it goes back to the owners having that right to do as they choose. And I like what Richard Childress said, you know, hey, you can take the Greyhound bus home. So it's pretty neat, and that's one of the great things about America, is freedom of expression, and you gotta love it.
Absolutely. All right, Justin, that's this week's episode of NASCAR Talk. Definitely check us out on Facebook. You can get these stories. Make sure you're following us on Twitter so you can see Dale Jr.'s great comments and all the things, a lot of things that we retweet about NASCAR and all sports, of course, that deal with Ohio. You can always find this podcast in the Google Play Music Store, also on iTunes. You can write us a review and give us a 4 or 5 stars, whatever you feel comfortable with, 3 stars if you feel so inclined, but we would love that. And, of course, you can always find us on the Stitcher app, which you can listen as you're driving around or riding around on a Greyhound bus or in your car on that Stitcher app via Apple AirPlay. Justin, drop your social media links just so people know how to follow you and need to get at you in case they got a problem with the anthem protest.
Yeah, absolutely. One Justin Bradley for Twitter, and I think I'm at Justin Bradley 48 now at Instagram. I decided to show my support for JJ this for the playoffs. Again, I don't think he's going to make the final four, but, you know, hey, 48, man, that's a pretty good number to represent.
As you said, this is the week. That's the place, the monster mile for Jimmy Johnson to get another win there. So we thank you for listening to this edition of NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley, and we will talk at you next time.